Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength, our redeemer. May these words be your words through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As I was working on this sermon, I realized that there are thousands of things in my life that I have forgotten. Anybody relate to that? I can't remember any of the addresses where I've lived before. Phone numbers are especially hard, because now you can just put them in your phone and say, "Hey Google, call so-and-so." Do y'all use that? I mean, it's amazing. I go, "Hey Google." Now, the other day they did call somebody wrong and they wondered why I was calling, but that's okay. And listen, Facebook tells me that I have over 2,200 friends. Who are these people? Who are these people? There are times when I've gotten up from my chair in the living room, gone into the kitchen to get something, and you don't have to raise your hand if you relate to this, and when I get to the kitchen, I can't remember why I'm there. Yeah, I see several nods. I see you. Jesus is praying for you. He's with you. But there are advantages to forgetting. I can watch a movie two or three times, and it's only toward the end that I remember that I've seen it before. And I enjoy the movie. I mean, it's great. But there are things I'll never forget. The birth of my children, graduations, injuries, losses, the death of my parents, significant celebrations, world-changing events like 9/11. But as important as these are in my life, even the details get a little fuzzy. We sit around at family celebrations and we argue the details, you know. "No, it happened this way, Dad." You know, "No, it didn't happen this way." I think that's why there's some differences in the gospel, you know. If they were to sit around, they would go, no, "It happened this way." But there's one thing that I will never forget. I will never forget what Jesus Christ, God's only Son, has done for me, even though it was over 2,000 years ago. When we see the real Jesus, we realize that He knows we need to be reminded so that the details can come to mind as we worship Him. Jesus knew how important it would be for the depth of His sacrificial love to be passed on from one generation to another. So on the night that He was betrayed, He took time to mark what He was doing with a meal. A meal that would remind us of the forgiveness and grace that God poured out through Jesus Christ. A meal that would proclaim God's love, grace, and forgiveness offered to each other as we share it. A meal where we can leave behind the burdens of life and experience the light that God has for us. And so this morning, as we journey toward Easter, as we unpack the events of the last week of Jesus' life, we look at what it is that Jesus wants us to remember in the Lord's Supper. The institution of the Lord's Supper, that we might remember and never forget what has been done for us. Mark says this in verse 22. He says, "He took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, He broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" Now, we know that Mark was a traveling companion of Paul, had some contact with Peter, but it was Luke that had the most contact with Peter. And Luke adds this to the account: "Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus knows we need God's love, forgiveness and grace, and to never forget it. And seeing the real Jesus, he understands our need to be reminded for what he has done for us in the cross and resurrection. And through the trials of the early church, when they broke the bread and blessed the cup, they remembered the victory of Christ over the cross. In the Lord's Supper celebration, they remembered that this life is temporary and life with God is eternal. They remembered how much God loved them, and they remembered that none of the things of this world can be compared to the glory of God through Jesus Christ. And so it is with us. We need to be reminded to remember, so that and no matter what our condition, whatever it is about where we are, we will know that there is so much more to life than the trials and tribulations that we may be facing. Leo Bastaglia tells a story about his mother and their misery dinner. What an interesting name for a dinner. Well, the background on the dinner is that the dinner was held the day after Bastaglia's father came home to let the family know that he was declaring bankruptcy and that he was going to probably lose everything, and they might even lose the house. That his partner had withdrawn all of the assets of the business and had stolen it and taken it, embezzled it. And so the next day, Bastaglia's mother took her jewelry and sold it. And she went to the grocery store and she bought all kinds of things for this huge feast for the family that evening. Now, there were family members that said, "You're crazy. Now is the time you need to save. Now is the time that you need to put back with the situation that's going on financially." And this is what she said. It was real, real short. "The time for joy is now, when we need it most, not next week." The meal rallied the family. From that time forward, they would tell the story of the misery dinner. Each year, they would repeat the meal to remind themselves that as a family, the love they had for each other was priceless and could not be taken away from them. That their lives were not defined on the house that they lived in, or how much money that they had, or the kinds of cars that they drove, but rather their lives were defined by the love and the binding of their lives together. And so they repeated that meal every year to remind themselves of what it meant to be family. I think that's what Jesus is doing with us. For Jesus knows we need to remember God's love, forgiveness, and grace. Mark continues with his account of the Lord's Supper. He said, "Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many.'" And what Mark is doing here is that he is reminding us of the sacrifice of Jesus. In fact, it is Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that says it this way: "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, it is not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." Jesus knows that only God's love can truly unite us. That's what is happening in these passages. As Jesus talks about his blood poured out for us, it is the blood that brings his followers together. As Paul refers to the sharing, the word that he uses there is koinonia. And we understand koinonia is fellowship. It's a Greek word that means fellowship. But it means a whole lot more than just standing around the coffee pot, eating donuts and sharing and drinking coffee with your friends from church. It is about holy fellowship, spiritual fellowship, a fellowship that digs deep into the notion of what it means to be one. Several years ago, I was asked to pray at the state of Texas Senate down in Austin. Jane Nelson, who's a senator over in Flower Mound, who's a member of the church there, asked me to drive down and to do their prayer. I got down there early. We had a chance to really talk. And I said, I really would like to include the issues that you're going to be dealing with. Is there something that I can pray for? And she said, oh, yes, we have this issue that's coming up. I can't remember what it was, but issue. And it's going to be very controversial for the Senate. There's going to be lots of debate. If you could just simply mention that we should be united by our, even in our differences. And I said to her, I said, well, how many different opinions are there on this issue? And she said, about as many as there are noses in the room. That's the human condition. And it seems that today, more than we have seen, at least in my lifetime, we are divided in more ways than I can count. And only, I truly believe this, only through the divine presence of our Lord will we ever find unity. Sharing in the blood of Christ. Sharing in the body of Christ. Holy spiritual fellowship. Throughout Paul's letter, he speaks of the unity that comes through the work of the Spirit. It is this holy unity that can give us hope. Jesus knows us. He knows our differences. He knows that United Methodist is one of the greatest oxymorons in the English language. He knows that typically there are as many opinions as there are noses in the room. And he knows that within just this group here, that there is diversity in terms of position and opinions. And that's okay. Because we are not to be the same, okay? I want to be clear about that. We are not to be the same as followers of Jesus Christ. Christ calls us to be united in spite of our differences. And maybe even because of our differences. Because we can be for the world a witness to what it means to put our differences of opinion to come together in love, to come together in joy, and to say with conviction as we take the bread and as we drink the cup, as the disciples did with Jesus, we are one in Christ. Jesus knows that only God's love can truly unite us. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, what Paul says toward the end of his passage about the Lord's Supper, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And he says this in relation, every time you share the meal, every time you break the bread, every time you bless the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so even in this meal, what we see from Jesus, for what we see from the real Jesus, is that Jesus knows others need to hear the good news of God's love. And it must be shared with the next generation. It is up to us to share it with the next generation, to not let the generation go without hearing the words of life, the words of love. The gospel is the good news that Christ came and died for our sins, the good news that we no longer have to carry the weight of this life alone. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus is the bearer of the weight of life that we cannot carry. When we experience the presence of Christ, it becomes a fire in our bones. To be enveloped by the Holy Spirit is to bubble over with that. And some people are good with words, and they are able to share their experience with Christ, you know, with others in talking about what Christ has done for them and how their lives have been changed, while others are better with actions. And they share who Jesus is through their acts of love and kindness, through their acts of joy and peace. And so whether it be word or deed, As followers of Jesus Christ, the question is, do others see Jesus in us? When Paul says to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, are we? Communion is a time of remembering, a time of reflection, a time of recommitment, a time of unity, a time of setting aside all those things that separate us from God. I have to admit that for me, as I come to the table, the hardest thing for me to do is to set aside those things. And I'm not just talking about, you know, particular issues. I'm talking about things that really affect my life. Guilt, anger, disappointment, pain, stress, anxiety, fear. To lay those aside when we come forward. And even harder is to lay aside those things that we love. To be willing to put in the hands of Jesus my children, this church, my grandchildren. I somehow convince myself that I can handle it better. And really, that's silly. God, I believe, loves me so much that when I put those things I love into His hands, He will care for them. So this morning, as we come forward for communion, I invite you to do this. Bring that which you love and place it in the hands of Jesus. Say, Lord, here it is. This is what I love most, and I place it in your hands, O God, for your safekeeping. Bring forward that which is separating you from God. Whatever it is, an emotion, a person, a situation. And say, Lord, here it is. And that doesn't mean that you have to leave it here. Okay? If you need to, take it back as you leave. But my prayer for you and for me is that when we take it back, it will be a little lighter, a little easier to carry. The story is told about a little boy who grew up living next to a fairly raging river. It had a fall, and there were rapids. And he dreamed about crossing this river to see what was on the other side. And so he would build a raft. And of course, there was no way that he, as a boy, could navigate the raft across the river. He was just not strong enough. And he would push some of the rafts out there, and the waves would just destroy them. And so he worked, you know, from one year to the next as he got older to see how he could design one that could withstand the force of the river and be strong enough to navigate it across. Finally, there was a day when he was strong enough and the design was just right. And he made his first journey, and he made it across. And he was so excited. I get to see what's on the other side. I get to explore a new world. And then he looked at his raft and all the time and effort that he put into it. I mean, he had invested his life in this raft, and he thought to himself, I can't leave it behind. I know that I will never leave it, but I love this raft. And so he strapped it to his back, and he carried it, and it was heavy. And it kept him from going some places, especially kept him from climbing hills or climbing trees or exploring places that were difficult to get to. The raft would hold him back someday so much that he would be too tired to even venture out for 2 or 3 days. And yet, he would never let go of the raft. What is it that's holding you back? Jesus says, remember what I have done for you. Remember, the transformation is yours. Remember how much I love you. Remember in the breaking of the bread and the blessing of the cup, the sacrifice of Jesus and the resurrection that is ours. that we can leave behind the difficulties of this world and claim what God really has in store for us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.